Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. It's Memorial Day 2021. And we want to start off by honoring all of those that have served in the military that have helped protect the United States of America in any way, shape, or form, whether it's carrying a gun or doing intelligence, which is why I didn't go into the intelligence division, and all the other stuff that goes along with the military serving your country. On that note, real quick, the Vietnam War was going really strong when my draft number came up, and my principal at my high school, Jim Osmond, was the president, or the big dog, I don't know what they call it, of the draft board. And there was numerous times when I was in his office facing disciplinary actions that he looked me in the eye and he said, "You're going to go to Vietnam and become a man." Well, two things are important. Nixon called the draft just before I was to be inducted. And number two, in spite of that, it's still questionable whether I can be considered a man as opposed to a boy. Nevertheless, to all of you from that era, like I said, 72, low draft number, on my way, called the draft just before I was to go. And at that point, they wouldn't let you join the Coast Guard or the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines. It was just everybody was being drafted. So thank you for all of you that served in my place and in my family's place. Thank you for all of you. Thank you for all of you for taking a, from a small amount of time to a large amount of time of your time in your life to serve in the military. And I know that I have lots of military families that do business with me, and I'm always honored by that. I'm just honored by the business that they clearly trust us to do work on their car, and I'm grateful for that. In addition to that, we have a truck on the road that's a Dodge truck, and it's been wrapped in the American flag, and in the back window it says, "God bless Vietnam veterans." That belongs to our family. That's in honor of the veterans who fought in my place. So there's a circle about that. Not too long ago, I was at Walmart in Payson, and sometimes when I drive the truck, I get lots of compliments. And so there was a gentleman standing there, and he says, "I really like your truck." And I said, "Well, thank you very much. It's in honor of the Vietnam veterans, which is my error." And he says, "Well, I like this thing in the back window." And again, it says, "God bless Vietnam veterans." And I said, "Well, thank you." And he says, "But I don't, I think you should change it." And I said, "Oh, okay." And he goes, "I think it should just say, 'God bless veterans.'" And I said, "No, that would be appropriate, but this truck is in honor of the Vietnam veterans." And I'm not drawing the line between them and World War II and stuff, but it's a personal message to them for serving in my place. And he says, "Well, I don't really think your excuse is valid. I think you should get rid of the Vietnam." And I said, "Well, there is one other reason why that won't happen." And he goes, "Why?" And I said, "It's because it's my truck." I had to walk away because I couldn't tell what was going to happen next. Nevertheless, it is important to my family that you know that if you served in the military, no matter what generation you served in, we are especially grateful for your sacrifices. And then in addition to that, to the veterans that served in Vietnam, in and around Vietnam, when I was supposed to go, but they called the war and they were evacuating Hanoi on the day I was supposed to turn myself in, and that didn't happen because they wouldn't take me. So nevertheless, thank you for all the veterans. Thank you for all those that made the ultimate sacrifice as well. 602-508-0960. If you have a car question or car problem, now's the time to call in because the lines are wide open. Gil is my engineer. He's the one that makes the show sound as good as it does. He's the one that tells me when to take my break at 17 minutes after the hour and not 22 minutes after the hour. Sometimes he uses bad words, but I'll spare you sharing those with you. 602-508-0960. Folks, right now our industry, the repair industry, is kind of in flux. And this is all Mark's opinion. It is my opinion that our repair industry is really struggling for a variety of reasons. But the biggest reason, and the overwhelming reason, is the new cars and their maintenance schedules. you don't have to hardly do anything to your car except change the oil maybe 10 times in the first 100,000 miles. Most all the new cars have a synthetic oil, which has a 10,000-mile oil change. Now, some of them call 8,000, some of them 10, some of them 12. So I think Mercedes is 15. So you got a little window there. But let's just assume that you drive 10,000 miles a year, 12,000 miles a year. You're only going to change your oil once a year. And that's going to have an impact on our sales, because keep in mind, in the old days, we used to see you every 3,000 miles. And you'd come in, and we'd do an oil change, and then we'd rotate your tires every other oil change. And when we had the tires off to rotate the tires, we would look at your brakes. And we'd do your hoses and your belts at about 30 to 50. We'd do your spark plugs sometimes at 10 and at 20. We'd service your transmission every 20 to 30,000 miles. We'd flush your cooling system every other year. We got to do a lot of work to your car. And as a result of that, business was good, and hopefully you'll agree that most of our repair industry behave themselves. Today is different. Today is way different. I'm not likely to see you but once a year. That's it. Once a year. You come in, and if you follow your owner's manual, and those are the key words, follow your owner's manual. Don't follow what anybody says, including Mark Salem. Follow your owner's manual. So I might see you once a year, and I'm going to change your oil and filter. And that's going to be somewhere in the vicinity of $100 to $150, because synthetic oil is expensive. And I'm going to check your belt and your hoses and your tires and your fluids, which is what we should do. And I'm going to look over for anything that is in the beginning stages of a problem. But I don't get to see it three or four times a year anymore. And as a result of that, my industry's coming up with all kinds of gimmicks and nifty, tricky ideas to get you in. For instance, free oil changes. You really don't believe that someone's going to give you an oil change that has a retail value of $100 to $150, give it to you free, unless there's some kind of a hitch in the giddy-up. You know what I mean? It's going to be a situation where a free oil change brings you in, and oftentimes the free oil change interval in miles is completely different than what your manual says. So in order for you to get a free oil change, you got to come in every 3,000 miles. I don't know if that makes sense. So we're going to take an oil that goes 10,000 miles, 12,000 miles, and in some cases 15,000 miles. And I'm talking about all oils, just different car manufacturers have different stopping points or different oil change intervals. So let's just call it 10. Well, I don't have to use all the stupid numbers. So at 10,000 miles, I'm going to call you in, and what? The idea is that they're going to shorten that version to 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 thousand. They're going to bring you in early, and I get to chew on your wallet because you have a free oil change. So you're going to bring your car in pretty religiously, but I get a shot at you. I get to chew on your wallet. I get to sell you lots of stuff because my bays are empty, and because my bays, we don't have this. We're not even selling the oil that we used to. It's just that. So recognize it for what it is. And I can assure you, and you, those of you that are listening to me right now and have a free oil change, da da da, you know I'm telling the truth, because just about every time you come in, you get, it could be a soft sell where I've listed on your repair manual what you should plan for, da da da, and this much money, da da da, and this much money. Or it could be a phone call that says, you know what, you're due for this, or we saw this. But it's an opportunity to just graze on your wallet and pay a small membership fee to get you in here. So you've become my marketing company. You bring your car in religiously. And the real sin is somebody puts an oil that's supposed to go 10,000 miles and puts a call on your door sticker of 3,000 miles. That's a terrible waste of natural resources, number one. And number two, it borders on criminal intent as far as I'm concerned, and I'm not a lawyer, so correct me if I'm wrong. The idea is that we're doing something that's not in the best interest of our customer. And as a result of that, we're really padding our wallet at your expense. So recognize those things as you see them and as you're faced with them. Gil, you got somebody?
Yes, sir. We got Arthur.
Arthur, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you, sir. Hey, Mark, I appreciate your show. I've chatted with you before. You've given me great advice. the best advice he gave me was sending me over to Action Auto in Deer Valley. So I got a 2010 Toyota Sienna still. And this is kind of a tough one. They're electric sliding doors.
Okay.
And they have, for the most part, ground to a halt. I am not a mechanical guy, but I did the thing that went on YouTube and saw somebody replace, the track and such, went to do that, and it's didn't. I'm not sure if it's worse or better, but it's about the same. Took it over to Tom at Action Auto, and he says, this is just such a pain in the you-know-what. We don't really like touching it. Go over to one of the other fellows you recommend on 19th Avenue Collision Place on 19th and Deer Valley.
Phoenix Body Works.
Yep, walked in, told them, and they say, nope, it's too much of a pain in the ass. Take it to the dealer. And excuse me for saying that bad word. Anyway, the dealer, all they wanted to do was they wanted it for about half a day just to determine what was wrong with it. And I just was not willing to pay for that. And I'm just wondering if you know someone who doesn't mind, monkeying with that kind of stuff.
Okay. Well, you're not going to pay for monkeying. Don't use that word because okay. You don't want to open the door for the monkeying charges.
Well, that's what I already did that.
Okay. Here's what's going on behind the scenes. Nobody wants to do that because it's a no-win situation. You don't really know what the final price is until you got the thing half apart. And then when you give the customer an estimate that couldn't be anywhere from $500 to $1,000, they're not going to be happy, but it's already torn apart. You've already got the door panel, you got the track out of it, you got the motors out of it, you got the sensors out, you got all of it. But in order to test everything, you have to do all of that. So nobody wants to be the bearer of bad news. And shame on you for even having a Sienna 11 years after it was made. Shame on you. That just shows that the connection between one ear and your other ear is somehow fragmented.
This little car just keeps going, bud.
I know, Toyotas are good. We're talking about a Sienna. We're not talking about Toyotas in general. We're talking about a Sienna. So you just have, if you're shopping price and you want to know the estimate before they open up the door, if you're looking for a deal, no one wants that. And right. I doubt very seriously if you presented that presentation to those guys. But I don't know. So the answer to your question is go by Kurtz. Here's what I want you to say if you come to my shop. My door's messed up. I know you're going to have to take it apart. I know you're going to have to do a lot of diagnosis. Give me an estimate. My number would be 1,000 because I like to be higher than low. So if I come in at 750, I'm a hero. So my number would have been $1,000, and I'll call you if it's more. Just depends. Then sometimes you've got some welding to do, and there might be some paint that needs to be painted again. So you've got all these different moving parts for this big problem that really everybody that's already been, we've all been stepped on already. So nobody wants it, but Kurtz Auto, call Bell, they're at Bell on I-17, call Kurtz, talk to Eric.
No. Okay.
And then also call Blackwell at 40th and Greenway and tell him, said Mark Salem said you don't have a prayer in hell in fixing this anyway, but he recommended both of you.
All righty. All right. Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
You bet. Good luck to you. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. There's five of them, and we'll be right back. Minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Automatic Transmission Exchange has been fixing transmissions in the Phoenix area since 1968, and Phil's been there the entire time. Whether it's a vibration, a leak, it doesn't shift right, it shifts too late, it shifts too early, my transmission light is flashing no matter what you got, 40th Street in Washington, Automatic Transmission Exchange would be the place I'd make an appointment and have them take a look at it. Greg, you're up. How can I help you?
Hey, Mark, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I was just listening to your show, and I looked up at my, I've got a 2015 Durango RT, and it's, I just wanted to maybe share what, I called the car manufacturer, the place that did the oil change, and asked them how long ago, and I was like 10,000 is when I had my oil changed. And they said, well, we recommend you do it at 5. I said, why? He says, because the car companies want you to buy a new car, and they don't care.
Oh, God. Why didn't you call last? All you've done is wad my underwear up so tight. Not at you. Thank you for doing that. They want you to buy a new car. Well, this is my answer to that stupid statement. I'm standing up. The name,
I agree.
My veins in my neck are out. Let me explain. Cars of today are going 300,000 and 400,000 and 500,000 miles. I remember in the 60s and 70s and into the 80s, if you did a motor between give or take 25,000 from 100, you did a motor. They were leaking oil severely. They were hazardous. Everything about them. Today, we don't even touch the motors unless the driver damages it by overheating and a run low on oil. We don't even touch the motors till 300,000, 400,000, 500,000 miles. I have so many cars in my fleet right now that are in the 300,000 and 400,000 and 500,000 miles. That's a lie. That's a weak excuse. It's stupid to even say that and try to digest it. The reason they put 5,000, it serves them, not you. You got an oil that's second to no oil in the history of the automobile engine. The manufacturer of the oil and the manufacturer of the car says that'll do 10,000 miles. Here's the downside. I hope people check their oil every once in a while. I just hope they do, because at the ad mark, you're a quart low, and after that, we get into a kind of a danger zone. But here's the good news. We're not replacing engines that come in that are C-solid because mama or daddy didn't check the oil. We're not seeing those. So that's because some of the newer model cars, if not all of them, they have a low oil light that'll come on and tell you, hey, stupid, stop and put some oil in me. So those kinds of excuses, oh, you live in Phoenix. We're different than the manual says. Oh, no, it's not in your best interest to do that because too much water ends up in your engine oil. And no, they say that, but we don't know what part of the country they really meant. That's what I hear. Oh, Greg, I'm never going to forgive you. Never.
Well, hey, I hung up on him, but, you know, because I knew better, too. I just wanted to share it with you because it's a list. But where in – I just moved to fell in the 101, basically, Frank Lloyd, right, in the 101.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any trusted advisors there that do you know, car places?
Yeah, Blackwell Auto at 40th and Greenway. Tom Blackwell, 40th, I've known him for 20, 25 years. He's real principled. He works on old cars, vintage cars, motorhomes, and then family cars and trucks and everything else. The only thing he doesn't work on is anything that brays or moves. And and other than that, he told me the other day, you got to stop saying that because I work on Broncos. And I said, everybody works on Broncos. They're a Ford. So anyway, thank you for that. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
All right.
All right.
Making me laugh. Well, they just want you to change it. Do it at 5,000. We recommend 5,000. Well, who are you? Wouldn't you really want to know my driving habits? Do I just drive to the liquor store three times a day, which is a mile away? Is that the totality of the miles on my car?
Breathe.
I'm sorry. This is going to be one of those shows. I can just tell you. Do I drive from Casa Grande to Prescott every day to work in that?
You would think.
You have to ask questions in order to put someone in a box. You just can't unilaterally. Everybody with a red car is stupid. How's that? That's about as stupid as what Greg just heard by saying, oh, well, we recommend 5,000 miles because they just want to sell you a new car. Like they're going to wear out day after tomorrow. If you bought a car that's going to wear out day after tomorrow, then call me and tell me that because we'll do a commercial for that car maker saying, she said, that car's a piece of yeah. Oh, breathe. Paul, I'm going to do my best to handle your question, but don't you dare bring up what somebody else said. Paul, go ahead.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question involves tires.
Okay.
I have noticed on a given stretch of road that as my tires aged, they got noisier, a bunch noisier. especially coming up to a stop. I don't see any evidence of bubbles, separations, or anything like that. The tires are now about 80% worn, and I'm ready to throw them away just because of the noise. Is this a common problem, or is this a characteristic of my car or the tires?
No, it's a common problem, but most people have their radio and their air conditioning on so loud that they don't hear it. But I think I can explain in a scientific way. Number one, the rubber itself, the compound itself, the very strongest portion of the tread is at the bottom of the sipes of the grooves. So as you get closer to there, you get more noise. Another thing is the first third of the tire's life, we may not have all of the tread on the roadway. So we're starting to wear the middle a little bit, and then we have the entire tread hit the roadway. There's a lot of things that can happen. You can try different brands. I don't think that you'll be successful. I think you ought to stick in the top three or four brands. But to get rid of them, just because of the noise, you don't have to. They're not unsafe. This is not a tendency or a problem related to a failure of a tire. Another thing that I want to know is when you rotate them, do you cross-rotate them side to side? Because that will change the direction of rotation. And oftentimes that will create a noise after we do it. We're really supposed to just take the fronts off the front and put them on the back, and the backs on the fronts. And oftentimes we'll create a noise because the fronts are going to wear the outside edges where the back tires wear nice and square. So when you turn right, you lean that right front tire over on the outside edge, and we wear that edge a little bit more. That's why we rotate the tires, is because the outside edge of the front of the tires need to be put on the back, or the fronts need to be put on the back, and then we put the back to the front. So I don't think this is life-threatening. I don't think it's related to the kind of tires you have, because we sell all kinds of tires, and we hear this. And I'll tell you that... Go ahead.
The other thing... Excuse me for butting in. Okay. The other question I have related to this, longer term, why can't we still run our old nylon tires? Remember the old days?
Yes.
They thumped in the morning, but I don't remember them getting noisy. Can you still get a tire like that?
No, No, you know, you can't. And, yeah, I understand completely what you're saying, but to go back to nylon tires would be like putting stagecoach tires on the new Corvettes. It just wouldn't work. But anyway, stay right there if you have another question. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Mark Salem here at your service every Saturday right here on 960 The Patriot, talking about car and car repair problems. I'm trying to calm myself down. The first 30 minutes of this show has been rather tumultuous, and it's not your fault, and it's just I object to what you are representing they said to you when they shouldn't. Let me just clear this up. Your owner's manual is the default. Whatever your owner's manual says, I don't care what Mark Salem says, I don't care what the dealer says, or the chain stores, or the private guy, or the fleet guy, or the guy at the auto parts, or what Mr. Google is. Now, don't forget, Google, when you Google something there about cars, there's a guy named Fred in a federal penitentiary in New Hampshire, and he's the one that's answering your question, and he has about as good a chance of helping you fix your car, your lawnmower, than I do if I had blinders on and you stuck a tennis ball in my mouth. So it's just not something that you're likely to get. Larry Harker's Auto, on the other hand, at 38th Avenue and Indian School is a great place, and I'll tell you why. They are tremendous diagnosticians, and Bob and Ellen are very honest people, and they're well aware of what your owner's manual says. So if you live in that area of 38th Avenue and Indian School, Harker's been around since 1967, and if you don't have a shop, I'd like you to try them for an oil change or something simple and see how they treat you. Let's go to the phones. Bill, you're up first. How can I help you?
Hey, Mark. Thanks for taking my call. 2015 Ford Fiesta, small little sedan. The struts on the back are shot. Where do I take it?
What part of town are you in?
I'm in North Phoenix, basically 7th Street, Loop 101.
Okay. Action Auto is at Deer Valley and I-17.
Okay.
And Tom can do that. And then Kurtz is at at Bell and I-17. Kurtz with a C. How many miles are on the Fiesta?
Just over 100,000.
And do you notice a deterioration of the ride quality, or are you doing it because you're looking at the odometer?
Nah, definitely. The back end is a little bit squirrely on pavement seams at freeway speed. So
okay,
it got diagnosed maybe a year ago when I was taking it somewhere else with some maintenance items, but that facility unfortunately missed some basic items on a belts and hose repair, so I kind of decided to look elsewhere.
Okay, and let me tell you why I ask you that. Shocks and struts are very lucrative. They're really time-consuming. There's an alignment that's going to go on at the end. Oftentimes there's going to be shims that we're going to have to install or adjustments we're going to have to install in order to get the back end to be straight up and down and following the front. So this whole idea about, rather than you go and say, I'm going to work off this guy's diagnosis, I think you would take it to one of those guys and have them take a ride with you and ask them to just feel what it feels like. When the strut goes bad, there's a very obvious bounce. After you get one bounce, you get a... So you get more than just one. A lot of us old gray-haired guys can just bounce the back end by ourselves and look at it and feel it, and we can get it up in the air, and if they're not leaking oil and they're not gas struts and the springs are okay and the spring saddles, which are rubber, are okay and all the bushings are okay, you've got 100,000 miles... Okay, but when you get this estimate, you probably already got one. It isn't going to be cheap.
Yeah, the probably the main symptom is that the back end at highway speed kind of just goes wherever it wants to.
Okay, is it going left to right or north and south?
2 minutes.
It's going left and right.
Okay, well, why wouldn't that be lower control arms at the back end? Why wouldn't we be looking at the suspension?
I'll take it to one of those places you talk to me about and just have them either ride with me or take it for a ride themselves and see what they say.
Well, you can do this too. If you know where you can make it happen, get somebody to follow you. Get your neighbor, get your wife, whatever, and say, okay, honey, you're on the phone. Honey, everything's fine in the car. Look at the back tires. Are they going straight up and down, north and south? They're not going left and right, and the back of the car's following the front of the car. Okay, honey, I'm hitting the dirt road, or I'm hitting the road where this happens. What's going on, honey? And she says, oh, well, the back end of the car's going left and right a couple of inches. Well, that's quite different than struts. So with two guys, two senior guys, and if you could say, okay, you got to do this to make it happen, we could do that. But don't spend money because you hope that it's going to work, because I want to tell you something. The odds of you successfully fixing some problem with rear struts are pretty slim and none, other than an obvious movement that shouldn't be there or a noise like a thump, which means a bad bushing or something like that. Anyway, thank you very much. Jim, you stay right there because you're going to be first. I promise we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Mark Salem here, 602-508-0960, where it's a car show. We're talking about your car, questions about this is what I was told or this is what I needed to know or how do I fix this problem, those kinds of things we can usually help you. The reason why this show isn't about my shop is because this show is about you. I'm not here to thump my chest and tell you how great I am and that you all should do business with me. I'm here to help you and guide you. And if it's guide you to another shop, I'm happy to do that. Anyway, 602-508-0960. Jim, thank you for holding. How can I help you?
Hi, Mark. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a 2014 Ram 1500, and I tow about a 5,000-pound trailer. And with this model, I don't know why they did this, it has a 26-gallon gas tank. And so, you know, going up the big climbs and stuff like that, I might get 8 miles of the gallon, maybe 7 miles a gallon. So I'd like to basically put on a bigger tank. There seems to be plenty of room to put on a second tank or maybe replace the first one. They also offer, I couldn't find it when I bought it, the same truck that I have with a 35-gallon. So I guess I'm just wondering, what's the trade-off between maybe that? I was thinking that might be the easiest, to just basically get a 35 replace my 26, but anyway, get your thoughts on that.
Okay. I don't know that we have ever done that. And I'm scared about the putting in a bigger tank because of the modifications of maybe the exhaust or the drive train or a cross member or something like that. So what would have to happen is somebody needs to go to the internet and look at cross member and look at the exhaust from the cat back exhaust system, catalytic converter backwards, to see if the part numbers are the same with a vehicle, the exact vehicle with the smaller and the bigger tank. But before you do that, I am going to give you, I do this so rarely. My son installs fuel tanks, and my Dodge truck has a huge fuel tank. He took me from 30 to 52, I think. And there is a company that makes these plastic tanks that takes advantage of some space. And we've been installing those for the last 10 years. So do you have your pencil handy?
I'm ready.
602, I'm sorry. Scratch that. 480-598-1234. 598-1234. Ask for Alan. Give him your specific vehicle information. And the question is I understand that you have bigger fuel tanks that give me more capacity. And if that's the case, how much do I have to write my check for before I leave home?
Yeah. Okay.
And he'll handle that for you. Okay. Thank you very much, Jim. Whew. Car repair is not that difficult. The diagnosis of some of the components and some of the problems of your car are difficult. But the most important thing is that your owner's manual is your default. There's 100 reasons why everybody wants to deviate from the owner's manual, but every single one of those, in Mark Salem's opinion, is self-serving. We do it when it's self-serving. So when we can do it and get you in on instead of a 10,000-mile oil change, we're going to lie to you like... I even wrote it down. Greg said he called and said, well, my manual says 10,000 miles on my oil change. And the guy goes, well, they just want to sell you a new car. He's insinuating, or the person on the phone was insinuating, that if you don't change your oil regularly, that your motor's going to fail. And my response was, that is absolute bull excrement times 10. The newer model cars, and I'm going to go all the way back for the next 10 years, the newer model cars, we're seeing those motors come through. They don't even smoke and use oil until they're in the 200,000 and 300,000 and 400,000 mile range. Let's keep in mind what that means. 25,000 miles is around the girth of the earth. That's the equator. I think exactly it's 24,844 miles or something like that. But please let me use 25,000. So every 100,000 miles, you've circled the equator 4 times. When you get up into the 300,000 mile range, you've circled it 12 times. Let's not lose sight of that. So here's Mark Salem. If you don't overheat your engine to where it's melted, it melts in from the inside out, and if you don't run it low on oil, if you watch to make sure you never overheat it and never run it low on oil, that motor will last for the rest of your life. And I'll tell you how I know. The only motors we replace have been abused and tormented by somebody behind the wheel. Virtually every motor we replace, virtually everyone has been damaged by the driver because they've overheated the heck out of it or they've run it low on oil. So avoid those two things. We have a caller. Who might that be, Gil?
That would be Steve.
Steve, good morning.
Well, good morning. And before anything, I have to thank you for your truck. You're talking to an old, fat, white-bearded Vietnam vet. I do have to thank you for that.
Well, I know, but thank you for noticing. But as you can well imagine, the guys that I went to high school with that were a year older than I was, those were the guys that were there along with you. And so I missed it, and I was lucky, but I've always been grateful for the sacrifices, even the ultimate sacrifices, for a couple of my friends. So thank you. The truck is in honor of the veterans in Vietnam, but thank you for saying that. Thank you.
Well, I'm calling you from beautiful downtown Gustin, Kentucky.
Okay.
We listen to you on iHeartRadio. But I have a question. I'm getting ready to transplant my old butt to Winslow, Arizona. And we're going to have about a 3,500-foot difference in elevation. I'm not too concerned about my wife's little new Kia, but what about my old favorite standby 91 GMC 1500 pickup truck? Anything in particular I need to look at with that change?
No. No, not a 3,000 elevation change, no. If you move to Winslow, I'm south of you, 150 miles. I'm in Payson, Arizona, and I'm up here. We bring our horses up here during the summer. Because it was 41 degrees this morning when I woke up, and the only reason I put clothes on to go feed the horses is because there was people in the forest next to the pasture.
Well, there you go.
But no, your truck will adapt just nice. Your truck has a mixture control solenoid, or if it's got a carburetor, it's got fuel injection. I think it's got fuel injection. It's got a barrel sensor and a map sensor that tells it what the elevation, and then it looks at a chart and it delivers the fuel and the spark. So you won't have any problem at all. The only problem that you're likely to have in Winslow is finding a good repair shop, and I don't have one for you. But when you move to Winslow, and if you want my opinion, my email address is easy. It's mark@marksalem.com, marksalem.com. And I will call a couple of parts vendors, and I will ask them to help me find a garage that's been around for a long time, that's honest, doesn't put parts on and then returns them, clearly showing the parts department or the parts vendor that he doesn't have any diagnostic skills. Oh, let's try the alternator. That didn't work. Let's try the battery. That didn't work. Let's try the voltage regulator. That didn't work. I'll help you find a shop up on Winslow.
I can do repairs that way. I made a decision when I was about 17. I said, when I get old enough and have enough money, I will never even change the oil again. I do not like mechanical work. And then I've spent the last 50 years tinkering with my Harleys.
Let me tell you about Harley. You got a minute?
Certainly.
Okay. I have testified in all kinds of local jurisdictions and courtrooms and in different disputes as an oil expert. Now, do you buy Harley oil?
Yes.
Okay. I want to make a suggestion to you. The transmission oil is a synthetic, a very high-grade synthetic gear oil. You can cut your price in half if you just get a named brand gear oil. Now, the primary chain case oil, that's a specific oil. I'm telling you, I know for a fact that that is a cheap 30 weight. Okay? Its only job is to keep your bicycle chain lubed. And as far as the engine is concerned, today they don't really put a weight on the can anymore. It's just the engine oil. But any 2050 or any synthetic will work just fine in your motor. And if I were, I'd go with a split viscosity, a multi-viscosity oil, and I'd probably get the widest range I could find with a full synthetic. And I've just saved you about $40 or $50 on your oil change.
Well, that's good to know, because this bike has been around the Four Corners six times, and it's taken my wife and me. It has a hack, a sidecar for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been to Homer, Alaska from Kentucky three times.
And there's nothing wrong with the oil that you're using. It's the same quality as what I'm giving you at half the price. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not faulting you, because it gets a rebuild almost religiously at 100,000 miles.
Yeah. Well, you'll have fun here, because you're going to be, of course, I don't know. Are you sure you need to leave Kentucky? I mean, I envision that's being a really great motorcycle ride in place. You recognize that in the summertime you're not going to be rolling up and down High 40, right?
Trust me, I look forward to Yarnell Hill.
Okay, I'm with you.
Uncle Sam put my butt in Phoenix at Luke Air Force Base for a while.
Okay.
And matter of fact, you even probably saw me when you were a child, because I was in the Air Force Band at Luke Air Force Base.
Okay.
And my Vietnam experience was 15 months of morale tours.
Yes.
But at any rate, I appreciate you more than you know, and we'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
I'll talk to a fence post if it'll hold still.
And that's okay. You know what? Your wife says that, and so does mine. And, you know, I give her the same kind of look that she gives me, and I just keep on talking, so it doesn't make any difference. Anyway.
Yeah, but did you marry an eighth-grade red-headed science teacher?
No, no. I married 47 years ago. I married this lady who we have been affectionately named by our friends as one of us is Snow White and one of us is Jack the Ripper, and I'll let your imagination run wild. But here's the deal. If you're going to be in Payson, send me an email, and maybe my wife and I will hook up with you guys. If you're going to be on your motorcycle, maybe we'll follow you 100 miles that way or 100 miles that way as you're passing through.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. Have a great day, and have a wonderful holiday weekend.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much. Thank you. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We have another hour to go, but we have a caller. Gil, who might that be?
That would be Troy.
Troy?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Pleasure speaking with you. Appreciate your time.
You bet.
A quick question. I'm getting into the diesel trucks. Never had one, never owned one, but I've always, you know, looked at the Cummins with Dodge or a Duramax with GMC. Do you have any preference of a year or a between the two models?
Today now. We're talking today. The Ford 6.7 is a great motor. I'm just not a Ford fan for a lot of other smaller reasons where you're going to visit me a lot, and I don't want to have every time we get to say hi and tell dirty jokes that it's because your truck's in. The Chevrolet has the 6.6. It's the only V8, and it's got the best transmission, the Allison. So you can't really go wrong with that model. But the next question is I drive a Dodge myself, and I bought a 12 because I didn't want the diesel exhaust fluid. So if you can find a 12 or an 11 with the 6.7, then that's what I'd get on the Dodge if you're going to go used. The DEF, I'll explain real quick. The DEF is nothing that's going to cause you anything other than you're going to have to add DEF to the tank. That's it. It's not going to cost you in horsepower. Everybody that talks, yep, they don't understand what we're doing with all of that. It's an emission control device. But I just bought a 12, and I've got a 12 Dodge 1-ton dually. It's got the 6.7. It just rolled 130,000 miles. I just put on my third set of tires. And I've had no problems with it, and I love it. My son drives a Ford, or a Dodge. He also owns a Ford. And we work on these three diesel trucks every day of our lives, except Saturday and Sunday. So we're real familiar with all three of these trucks. The Ford had a history of the 5-liter and some of the other motors that on the diesel side, but the 6.7 is a big success for Ford, and I'm happy for them. The 6-liter was a terrible motor. I'm happy for the Dodge, but the 5.9 was a monster, the 6.7's a monster, and the old 7.3 was a monster. So Chrysler has done, and Dodge has done a good job with respect to diesel motors. Chevrolet hasn't moved, but they didn't have to move because they got this bulletproof, it wasn't early on, but it is today, this bulletproof 6.6, and they got the Allison transmission, which I admire. I think there's no doubt in my mind that's the best transmission out there. Now, Ford's automatic and Dodge's automatic is comparable to the Allison. It's just not the premium unit that the Allison is. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And Troy, stay there if you have another question. Well, welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock here in Arizona. 602-508-0960 is the phone number. If you're outside the Phoenix metropolitan area, we have an 800 number you're welcome to use. And that number is 888-960-9696. 888-960-9696. And that's toll free. We're going to go back to Troy because Troy had a follow-up, and I think, Troy, you were asking if you were going to get a used one, which one would I steer you towards?
Yes, sir. That, and I've read a lot of good things on the 2006, 2007, specifically with Dodge and GMC.
I agree. Let me go through them real quick. The GMC, I'd like you to be 10 years old, but maybe no more. But yes, I'm not quite sure that I agree with that mid 2006 plus or minus 4 years on the GMC, because I had two of them. And I remember this, we had an intermittent misfire, and like most everybody else in the whole wide world, it took forever to try to fix it, and you just chased your tail, and what it ultimately ended up to be was a circuit board with a crack in it. And so there's some of those, I'd like it to be 10 years or 11 years older and no more on the GMC side, and I really can't go wrong. Now, you know and I know that what you'd die for would be a one owner. He's a guy that's got every gasoline receipt since day one, and he's got a log of everything he's ever done, including air up the tires, and nobody's ever driven it, and he's never had a DUI, and it's never been in a wreck. Those are what you're looking for.
Yeah.
On the Ford, no 6 liter. Before, the old one, 7.3, but you're going to pay a premium dollar for that 7.3 monster Ford diesel engine in the 90s. I don't remember exactly what year it is, but the 7.3. So that's a monster motor, but those are snatched up just instantaneous. Once they hit the internet, they're gone, because that was, today we know that that's a monster motor. It lasts forever. On the Dodge side, the 5.9 or the 6.7, either one of those motors will serve your purpose. Again, one owner, got all of his maintenance records and stuff like that. So you're going to be, you might be in a bidding war on some of these, especially that 7.3 on the Ford, but 10-year old or older, with those years, stay away from the 6-liter Ford. You're fine. Okay?
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
You betcha, Troy. Thank you. Oh, boy. It's working on cars is a pleasure, and I'll tell you why for me it's a pleasure. And first, let me just tell you that I started pumping gas at a gas station in Tempe, Arizona in 1968. Ken Vivian, who has since passed, taught me how to bust tires, change oils, and stuff like that. And that's really where I got my start. Today, fast forward, I'm somewhat retired, but the kids are running the operation. But from 1979 till just recently, I was involved in the operation of a repair shop that worked on diesels and motorhomes and hot rod cars and then everyday cars. And as all other shops, the majority of your business is family cars. So ours is probably 80%, maybe 70 to 80% family cars. And the rest of it is the motorhome, and it's the sand buggy, and it's the Jeep and the diesel. And heck, there's been times that lawnmowers have been in our facility. So, I've been around, and I'm an ASE Master Certified Technician, and I have been since 1991, but I was ASE certified even before that. And ASE is the Automotive Service Excellence. And so it's a certification that you have passed all the tests to call yourself a ASE certified technician and tune up drivability emissions. But when you're a master, you've covered all 8 automotive tests. So you've passed all 8 of them. And that's what, and you can use master in front of my name, but my wife doesn't and I can't talk her into it. It's kind of useless, but I am an ASE Master Certified Technician. Anyway, 602-508-0960, the phone number, 602-508-0960, the lines are wide open. It bothers me a lot about the shenanigans that are going on in our industry, but this isn't something that's new. The repair industry is no different than the guys that fix washers and dryers, and it's no different than a lot of other businesses that have ebbs and flow in integrity. And when we're really busy, then we're not really interested in dragging you in. But then keep in mind, in the last 10 years, we've got cars out there that probably really need to go into for a repair facility once a year based on the new requirements and intervals. And that's the key word, the interval. How often do we need to see you? And what we've got, in Mark Salem's opinion, is we've got a whole bunch of people in our industry, at least in my area of touch, is Arizona, where we're using the intervals of the 70s and the 80s on cars that are like spaceships that have already gone to the moon and back or gone to the sun and back. It's just a huge difference. In the old days, 3,000 miles, you came in, and we did oil changes every 3, and then we rotated your tires every other time. and rarely did anything. We did virtually all your fluids by 60,000 miles. Today, we're only going to do your fluids at 100,000 mile intervals. Now, there's always the little asterisk in your owner's manual. If you're in an exceptionally hot or humid climate, you may, you know, do that a little earlier. Just stick with your garage. If you trust your garage to make good decisions for you, ask them. For instance, in my case, virtually all the cars we have in our fleet, as long as my family, because the two kids work there, and my wife and myself, plus we have Eddie, who's been with us for 32, 33 years, Adams, who's been with us for 25 years, all their cars, I get to include theirs. We all stick pretty close to the normal, replacements. We're going to do all your fluids by 100,000 miles on anything today. But in the old days, we used to do fluids at 30s and 60,000 miles. So there's a big difference. We've lost a lot of that business. So what we do is we create scare tactics for our customers that your new $65,000 diesel truck, and that's a little low, I know, your new diesel truck is, if you just don't, you know, I know it says a 10, 12, 15,000 mile oil change interval, but it's, you're going to be sorry. If you bring that thing in here, we'll change the oil, and we'll go to 8 or 9, and everything will be fine. Gosh, but the oil goes twice that long. So I don't know if I like that. So just kind of work it through your, you know, between your ears and see if they're taking better care of them or are they taking better care of you. But again, the maintenance required 100,000 miles in the last 10 years is nothing similar to what we had before the 2010 mark. And if you go back in between 2000 and 2010, there's no similarities between the maintenance stops then and the maintenance stops now of cars built in the appropriate years. So just the more you come in, the more we get a chance to chew on your wallet. Just remember that. But then on the other side, I can hear many of you saying, well, yeah, but if I don't come in, you still get to chew on my wallet. You're right. There's some kind of a happy medium, but the oil change has always been the beginning. That's where the relationship starts. When you bring your car in, we're supposed to check tires, fluids, brakes, all your belts, all your hoses. We're supposed to look for things that are going to happen. The battery cables are corroded. The power steering belt doesn't look that great. The clutch fan is leaking oil. I've got a refrigeration leak on the low side where it goes into the evaporator on your air conditioning system. I've got an alternator that the pulley is shiny and the belt is shiny, so I need to change the belt. So those are the kinds of things that we should see when we do oil changes and we should bring to your attention. And we should be strong enough to write about it. It should appear on your bill. Customer was advised that the alternator belt looks like the shoestring on an old Boy Scout boot. We replaced the alternator belt. The other ones are fine. That's what it should say on the repair order. That's what it's all about. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Automotive Dynamics is in Sun City, and actually Chuck Nide, who owns Auto Dynamics, and his son Derek. Chuck, I've known him since 1960s, late 60s and early 70s, because he was in the gas station business back then. Now, him and my boss, Ken, they were good friends. Back then, they weren't exactly the kind of role models my mother wanted her 16-year-old son to hang out with. But I'll tell you what I told my mother. I told my mother, I don't know where to be on the good to bad scale until I see what good and bad looks like. And there was times where those two guys did things that I knew that I shouldn't mimic. And then there was times that they did things that were truly a sight to see. I remember both of them intermittently would talk, and I would overhear a conversation, and it would sound similar to this. Yeah, but she came in and she told me that she was really worried and she needed to go to Prescott to see the kids, and it's just, she just doesn't have the money, and so she needed a set of belts. So we had told her that the last time she was in for an oil change, and she asked us to look at it again, and I just put a new set of belts on and said, you know what, we made a mistake, we were looking at the wrong car, your belts are fine. That was the that was the attention getter for me as a young person. It was those kinds of conversations where somebody brought their car in, an elderly couple or a young mother with more than one child and no husband. And they came in because the air conditioning wasn't blowing cold. And then the bill said, we found the air conditioning fine. But in the second copy, it showed 2 pounds of Freon and no labor. So those are the kinds of examples that they sent for young men like myself. And hopefully I've made them proud as well. Anyway, 602.
1 minute.
Yes, sir. 602-508-0960. We've got 45 minutes of the show left, and you're welcome to call us no matter where you're from. If you're outside the Phoenix metropolitan area, 888-960-9696, because we're on 960 The Patriot here in Phoenix, KKNT. Again, that other than Phoenix, phone number 888-960-9696. Folks, I never knew people from Kentucky were calling in. We never ask them where they came from. So this is kind of all new to me, but it's nice. We get viewpoints from other parts of the country. We'll be back right after this. Minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. Every Saturday I'm here talking about cars from 11 to 12 Phoenix time. I'm sorry, from 10 to 12 Phoenix time. And you're always welcome to join us. The lines are wide open. Phoenix is 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Obviously, Memorial Day is right around the corner, and we've been talking to veterans and thanking them for their service and stuff. And I just got a call from my younger sister who reminded me of something. And this is as close as my Uncle Max Twentier was in the war, and he was wounded, and he was in a hospital. And during that period of time when he was in the hospital, when there was times where nurses or doctors would come in, and obviously it was like a gymnasium where there were beds everywhere, and they would call out someone's name because they had to give that particular serviceman an inoculation or give him a shot or treat him. And it would wake up everybody. And so Melinda, my younger sister, reminded me that our Uncle Max actually began to put wristbands on all of the guys and write their name and their serial number and all that kind of stuff. And he later morphed that into a business. And I haven't had a chance to look it up because this just happened in the last 10 minutes. But I think he had a patent, or he developed a company that created that for hospitals all over the world. And I think he was one of the first people, if not the first person, we think, that came up with the idea. It was, you could go around and put on there that they're in, you know, the northeast corner of the gymnasium, and you could just walk around and look at the bands on the servicemen that were sleeping just till you found, you know, like Max Twentier, which was the name of my uncle. So our family has been involved in veterans stuff for very many years, and we have veterans within our family. But I think my Uncle Max is probably the one that probably did a lot for the future that others weren't lucky enough to do. Okay, when we talk about cars, we just talk about trust, and if you find a good shop that you trust, then you should stay there. And if there's a problem, I think you should always bring the problem to the owner's attention and allow them an opportunity, A, to go out and figure out what happened, and B, to get back with you. It's not a good idea to demand an answer right then and right there. It takes a while for us to figure that out. It's not uncommon for us to have to say we're sorry. Though I can't tell you a single shop owner that I respect in the Phoenix area that hasn't had to say I'm sorry at least once a month to somebody. So we make mistakes like everybody else. Sometimes, not too long ago, I had to apologize to a customer of ours that had been a customer like 13 years. We had loaded her work order with a bunch of parts and labor that didn't belong on her work order. It belonged on a car just like hers, but with a different last name. So when she came in to pick up her car, she was completely caught by surprise by the huge amount of money that we said her bill was for what she had was an oil change. And so it took us a little while to figure out what had happened. But the bad thing was the other guy got his car real cheap, and Mark ate all that work, but she was very kind and very nice and understood completely when we showed her that we had actually put stuff on this ticket that should have been on this other guy's ticket. So same kind of car and same year and everything else. We just simply made a mistake. Okay, Gil, who's up?
We have Victoria.
Victoria, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Listen, Mark, thank you for, sharing your knowledge and doing your show every week. And it's just amazing, your generosity there. So many of us appreciate that.
Thank you.
So I just want to thank you for that and thank you for taking my call. Oh, Mark, where to begin? First of all, we're talking about a 1992 Buick Park Avenue with over 300,000 miles on it.
Okay.
And, you know, it has one of the 3.8 liter engines that so many people have said are just workhorses, you know.
Yep.
And you would know that. Anyway, Mark, we're senior citizens, and I'm partially handicapped and just came to light. My husband has, like, the beginning stages of Alzheimer's and dementia, so I kind of have to see what I can do about getting this car fixed. We used to take this car to Brake Masters, okay? And several years ago, they seemed like they were, mostly it was, you know, for the oil changes and you know, keeping the maintenance up on it, like you were talking about, every 3,000 miles. And it was kept up well, and we've had this car for, I don't know, 20-something years, and it's been absolutely perfect. It's been fine. Now, it's, you know, cosmetically it doesn't look as good as it should, but it was fine. Then last year, it started overheating, which it never did before. And so my husband said, well, take it up there to Brake Masters, and I said, oh, okay. And so we went up there, and they put the wrong thermostat in it, was how this all started, because it's still kept overheating. So I talked to the guy and I said, it's still overheating, and it never overheated ever. And he said, well, it's got to settle in or something to that effect. I said, what do you mean settle in? I don't understand that. I mean, I'm not Mr. Goodwrench, but I've been around cars a little bit. And I said, I don't understand what that means. And he said, well, I have a brand new truck and you know, that happens to my truck, or I don't know, something to that matter. So anyway, so then they changed the thermostat and they put a different one in, and I apologize, I don't remember if the first one was at the higher end or the lower end, but it was opposite of what it was supposed to be. And then they put the other one in, and
okay, but stop, hold on, stop for a minute. Where was the gauge running when it was overheating? Was it in the half to three-quarter, from the three-quarter to the red, or past the red?
Past the red.
Okay. Is it fixed today?
Well, that part is, I think. Now, the car hasn't been running for 6 months, because here's what happened. When we took it back, because it was still overheating, he had some of the guys, the next thing I know, they were taking parts of the engine apart. Okay, which I didn't understand. I said, well, we had to clean out all the gunk and stuff out of there. Then when they put it back together, the first guys didn't put any, they didn't put any, the valve cover gaskets, they didn't put any gaskets on it. And then everything was leaking. And then when we had to take it back, again, I had to have it towed up there and pay for that, which, you know, we're on a real limited income, so that didn't help. Anyway, then they put the gaskets in, and they didn't tighten down anything, so it was still leaking.
Okay. All right. I'm running out of time. Let me just comment. Forget about all the names that you've used. It's a bad idea. If you have a tire shop that does tire rotations, tire repairs, and sells tires, it's a bad idea to have them go after your air conditioning system. What we've had in the industry is we have places like transmission shops that have come out of the ground and they're transmission only, but now all of a sudden they're bumper to bumper. And the reason why is because there's no transmission business left, because most of the transmissions of today go way past 100,000 miles and need very little, if any, service. So the bottom line is, Victoria, is you just have to get the problem fixed, and then everybody will know behind you what happened. Changing out the thermostats and the valve cover gaskets leaking shows there was a whole lot of work going on there, and this is really theirs, but it's probably a good time to just take it somewhere else. And we'll be back. Stay right there. After the hour of 11 o'clock, my name is Mark Salem. Every Saturday, you're here from 10 till noon, Phoenix time, talking about car and car repair questions and problems. We're going to get to Victoria in just one second. If you have a car question, or if you want to have some simple dialogue about a car question, Mark with a K at MarkSalem.com. Mark at MarkSalem.com. I do all my own answering of emails. I don't have anybody between you and me. Please put your phone number in there, because inevitably you'll tell me something and I'll need more information, and I would prefer to call you. I have no fingers left because I've typed them down to the nubs. So the phone number is kind of important, and I'm going to call you from a blocked line. But as soon as you pick up the phone, you don't even have to say hello. I'm going to say, "This is Mark Salem. I'm returning your email call. Can we talk?" And I'll make sure that you understand that, it's me calling. So anyway, we're talking to Victoria. Victoria, let me ask you a question. Today, what's wrong with the car today?
Well, today, and my question to you is, Mark, I've been trying to find somebody honest to ask this with, and you'd be amazed how many people don't know any honest mechanics. So
okay.
The car has not run for 6 months, hasn't been run, okay, because there's so many leaks in it now. What I was trying to find out was, the car can't be driven into a shop somewhere, and people are saying, well, get, you know, a mobile mechanic to come and look under it and everything. And what we're trying to do, and I know ultimately another vehicle will have to be gotten, but right now we can't do that. So I was trying to see what your opinion was, or if
well, where do you live, Victoria? Just tell me where you live.
Goodyear, like Litchfield Road and Indian School.
Okay. I would probably call S&S Tire, and I would say
to... Yeah, but you have to take it in there, don't you?
Well, I'm not going to refer you to a mobile shop. I'm not going to refer you to... I don't do that. First of all, if he was working, if he was as good as he says he would, he'd be working for me making between $50,000 and $100,000 a year. And he'd have Monday through Fridays, and maybe a Saturday. He'd have a 401k. He'd have workman's compensation. So a mobile mechanic, you're going to step out of the kettle and into the fire. So, I would call them, and if we got leaks, then let's address the leaks. Hang on to all the receipts. We do one thing at a time. And once we get the car back on the road, then 30 days later, then you have somebody look at both sides of the tickets you have, the repair orders. You got the one shop that did a bunch of work, and then you got the other shop to put the car back on the road. There's going to be some duplication. You're dealing with a chain store that has a corporate office. So the appropriate letter written in a nice fashion with factual data that's documented by the repair orders says this is a repair that they did that actually did nothing good but create this leak that I had to have fixed here. So there is a process of a nice way to be able to approach a corporate customer, a corporate-owned shop, and have them step forward. And oftentimes, not always, they will. But you're just in a bad way. But I'm not going to push you off the road, because by telling you that there's a mobile mechanic that's going to come to your house and be able to wave his magic wand and fix your car in your driveway is just not a reasonable expectation.
No, I wasn't asking it. I was just wondering if there was somebody who could at least tell us, like, the rack and pinion leaking and the power steering hose, the transmission, whatever.
Okay.
I mean, we need to have a car, but, and obviously all this stuff needs to be fixed, but we can't do it all at once. I was just wondering if there was something where the car would be safely, you know, on the road and then fix the other things as we could do so.
Well, you asked me for my advice, and I gave it to you, and I'll repeat it one more time for you. I would take it to S&S, and I would say to them, look at my car and tell me what it's going to take to put it back on the road, and I'm only going to do the stuff I need to put it back on the road right now. So
okay.
Just do that and tell me what your checkout service is going to cost me. Tell me what it's going to cost me to have you look this car over. He may call you back and say, the worst thing you got right now is a huge vacuum leak on the intake manifold. I'll have to reset that, and that'll be $200, and that'll take care of the check engine light. I'm just hypothesizing here. That'll take care of the check engine light. That'll take care of the rough idle. That'll take care of the nose start. You've got some oil leaking, and yes, we can fix that. But right now, to put it on the road, we can do this. So those are the kinds of things that you have to deal with. There's no magic wand here. There's just no magic wand. Right. I'm sorry, Victoria. That's the best I can do for you. It's 39 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. The lines are wide open, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. You're welcome to call us. And when we come back in about 3 minutes, we'll take your call. And if you're outside the Phoenix metropolitan area, 888-960-9696. I'm Mark Salem. We'll be right back. When the name of your shop is Strictly Diesel, it means Strictly Diesel. Strictly Diesel Service and Repair. Nate owns Strictly Diesel, and he's a good guy. I know him personally. I have his cell phone number, and I know that I lean on him sometimes because he is so well-versed about Dodge and Chevys and Ford diesels. So if you have a diesel and nobody else can fix the problem, you belong at Strictly Diesel Service and Repair. They're open 24 hours a day on their website. And you can get lots of information there, but they're on I-17 and Pinnacle Peak just south. So that's Strictly Diesel Service and Repair. Okay, maybe and hopefully Victoria's still listening. Victoria, this is what your letter should to the management at Brakemasters should sound like, and you should write it in this fashion. I've been a customer years since this date. This is the earliest repair receipt I've had on this car. Since then, I've been in X amount of times. The original problem was an overheat. And I've been in 6 times and spent $1,100, $1,800, $3,000 in an effort to put my car back on the road. So I have the original repair order, and that number is this, and then I have all